News just through, the Canberra Raiders have confirmed via a media release, Charns Nicol-Cloustar is set to depart the club at the end of this season to take up a new deal with the New Zealand Warriors. So that story broke courtesy of News Corp last night. Charns Nicol-Cloustar off home to New Zealand to join the Warriors next year, Loz. So probably hasn't played his best football for a while. He's been battling injuries.
And his injuries. And
Xavier Savage has emerged.
Yeah, and I think that's what the Raiders are looking to do at this stage, is that, you know, they've got Xavier Savage there and he's a long-term fullback and they're going to prepare to invest in him. And Charns has saw that and thought, well, there's no longer a future here for me. I can get a deal over there with the Warriors. They're looking for a fullback because Rhys Walsh looks like being released and going back to the Brisbane Broncos. So it clears up a bit of money on their salary cap as well for the Raiders. So it's a win for all parties at this stage. But Charns, a couple of years ago, geez, he was playing some good football. Yeah. Unfortunately, though, you know, the last sort of year, he just hasn't been able to get his body right. But when he gets his body right, he's a good player.
The year you made the grand final, he was very good.
Oh, 2019. Mm. He was, you know, arguably their best player in the grand final, along with Jack. He was tremendous. Mm.
Give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. We had Roger Rashid on earlier, and Jannik Sinner and Novak Djokovic went to five sets. Djokovic eventually won after being two sets to love down in their quarterfinal at Wimbledon last night. Cameron Norrie, the British player, beat David Goffin in five sets as well. So it's over to Nick Kyrgios and Alia Tomjanovic flying the Australian flag later tonight. Just a reminder, with racing today, Warwick Farms off, goes to Canterbury tomorrow, that meeting. Kembla tomorrow is off and moves to Goulburn on Friday. We had a text here as well. Morning, boys. Aussie schoolboys rugby starts today at Knox Grammar. Now, just on that, I was reading in the paper somewhere, the great Matt Burke's 18-year-old daughter, Edie, has been picked in the New South Wales One team for the Australian Schoolboys Rugby Championships this week. And she says her big goal is to play at the Olympics one day. So, Edie Burke, good luck and congrats.
Yeah, congratulations. He's kept that one quiet. Burkey, what position does she play, do we know? Is she a fullback?
Not sure.
Imagine if she's a fullback. Imagine Burkey giving her advice.
Do you reckon he'd be hard on her?
I reckon he'd be in her ear.
Yeah.
I reckon Burkey'd be in the ear. You know, when I did this, I did that. I reckon. If you're listening, Burkey, give us a ring. Let me know how you advise your daughter on rugby. Because I know with my young bloke, when I talk to him about, he plays rugby.
It must be hard for you, Loz, because you'd probably really want to get hard in and coach at times, but then you just got to go, I've got to back off.
Mate, you see him play,
got to back
and you
off.
Want to give advice.
Yeah.
And you just know that he's not going to take it. And I just go, shut my mouth. Because I sit there with Michelle and I go, just you want to get out there and say, mate, do this, do that, do that. And she says, shut up, don't say anything. I said, no, I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing and what I want him to do and he's not doing. And then he just wouldn't listen to me anyway, you know.
I remember Austin Waugh. Very, very good young cricketer, played New South Wales 17s and Australian 17s and stuff. And I remember having a conversation with Steve Waugh about, he's trying to help Austin with a few tips. And Austin was like, yeah, mate, what would you know? Like,
yeah.
he's still your dad. So then Tugger got to a stage where he just said, you know what? I can't help him. He's not going to listen to me. So he just took him down to like the local indoor centre and got him like a normal young 18-year-old coach. And Steve would stand up the other end, tell the coach what to say. The coach would go and say it to Austin, and Austin would listen.
Get it to him secondhand.
But Tugger couldn't say it to
him. I know exactly what it would be like, Clarky, because I know with Will. Or he'd always say, no, I know. I feel like saying, well, mate, if you know, do it.
You're still their dad, eh? You're just their dad.
Isn't that funny?
So true.
How did you go, Clarky, getting advice from your old man? Because your old man was a very decent cricketer
my old
himself,
man coached,
wasn't he?
My old man coached me from sort of, well, 7 to even up to early 20s. When I say coach, he knew my game from such a young age that he could see a difference. Like, he could see if my head was falling over a little bit or if I was getting LB playing across my front pad. He just noticed things. So when, I'd say, Dad coach, if I was struggling or something didn't feel right, he'd still come to the nets with me, feed balls in the machine, and would say to me what he was seeing. And that was the best advice for me. I was a real feel player versus I didn't like to look at vision, but I could feel if something wasn't right. If I wasn't hitting the ball through the line I meant to, then it obviously had something to do with my stance or my back lift or my shape or my grip. And my dad just helped me sort of feel that because he could see it and explain it to me. But no, either way, like I remember I think I got 100 in one, like it might have been a Shield game or something, and I was disappointed I wasn't picked in the next game for Australia, whatever, and I went to the nets with Dad, and Dad was like into me, like I just made 5 ducks in a row. Like he was up the other end, saying, "Mate, you look out of shape and your swings." And I'm like, "Mate, I just got 100 against Andy Bickle, Michael Kasperwich, Mitchell Johnson. Like I'm going all right." And he was like, "Well, I'm just telling you, you look like you're off balance. And mate, if I bowled an in swinger here, I reckon you'd get LBW." And I was like, "Oh my God." But yeah, it's like, they're still your parent, right?
Yeah.
They're still, it's no different to any advice you get from mum and dad. It can be the greatest advice on the planet, but if it comes out of mum and dad's mouth, it's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, your best mate says it, or your best mate's mum or dad says it, and you go, geez, that's a good idea.
I love that Will just brushes you.
Oh, he
the
brushes
great you. Ill daily, doesn't matter. Yeah. Shut up, Dad.
Shut up.
Yeah. Dad, what would you know?
I know.
You played league. We don't kick the same.
Anyway, I told him the other day. It was because he plays out in the outside back, so he's a winger. If he gets an opportunity, a fullback or centre, which doesn't happen all the time, but I think he's playing fullback this weekend. But anyway, I said, mate, this weekend, if you play fullback, I said, it's a bit different to playing on the wing because you can get yourself more involved and, you know, what to look out for. And I was saying, you know, when they get a bit tired, you know, through the middle, inside, he sort of looked at me and he said, Dad, you don't know anything about rugby.
Yeah.
And I went, no, I don't. But I'm trying to sort of help understand the game and trying to sort of give you an understanding of maybe what to look out for.
Mm.
And it was just...
Just got brushed, shut down.
Gee,
tough. Like, right, I'll tell you what, Laws, I jotted my memory last night when I was seeing Bradley Clyde's League Legends episode on Fox League. It was great to watch, but he was talking about... Jake Duke asked him about the infamous Origin bonding session when you went horse riding. And I'd forgotten. I remembered Robbie Kearns' injury, but Bradley Clyde got badly injured as well and was out for a couple of months after doing his shoulder, after falling off the horse and basically getting one foot was caught in the stirrup and he got dragged along the ground for 20, 30 metres. And you were saying earlier off air that you were actually next to Robbie Kearns when it happened to him.
Yeah, he was knocked out, Kearnsy. And he had blood coming from his ear and his nose.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, this is more serious than just being knocked out here. So I was like heart racing, didn't know what to sort of do. I turned him on his side, then other people started to come. So I was right there where it happened and it was horrible. And with Bradley, he got caught up and got dragged along the ground by the horse. But I don't ever think Bradley played Origin after that. Mm. I think that might have been the end of his Origin career.
I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure he came back, selected, and then got injured there and missed the rest of the series and never ever played another Origin game. So I think that was the end of his Origin career. But yeah, with Robbie Kearns, yeah, I thought it was something more serious than just being sort of concussed. So it was a horrible accident, but you sit back and laugh about it now. But you can only imagine, you know, what jockeys go through because these horses, they were sort of still and then they just took off and
just got spooked.
But then the guys, you know, fell off the horses. But when the jockeys are going at a fair clip during the middle of a race, and then something happens and they fall off, you know, they're at serious risk of injury.
Yeah, you're right. Bradley Clyde's last Origin was 94 because obviously during Super League didn't play, so he's picked in that squad. Would that have been
98, 99 would have been?
Yeah. So he didn't get to play and that was it.
Played Origin. That was never played Origin after it.
Trent, morning to you. Waiting patiently. How are you?
Yeah, good, boys. You've given me a few insights here. Don't coach your kids and make sure your team bonding sessions are a game of cards and some beers, I think.
You can't go wrong with that, Trent, let me tell you.
Mate, you can't. I coach my son's under eights. I'm handing him a resignation.
Yeah. Coach the others. Yeah. Be his father.
Well, how receptive is he?
Oh, not really, Bido. He comes up to me and gives me hugs all the time. It's running. I have to tell him, mate, I'm here. I'm your coach here. I'm not your dad. And he's like, yeah, you're my dad. And I'm like, mate, I'm not your dad. you call me Trent or you call me coach. That's it. He just gets confused and runs off and, yeah, does his thing. So, yeah, I think resignation's handed in, boys. So thanks for that. Appreciate it. All right. So, Loz, mate, once again, you and I are in agreement. Mate, this is becoming a...
I don't like this. What are we in agreement on?
Oh, look, I think Freddie's got it wrong with picking Crichton again. I think Whiten should be in the side at the centre. I don't know about you, Loz. I thought Crichton was ordinary in a team that won by 30.
He hasn't found his rhythm yet, Crichton. He hasn't found his rhythm as he has done with Penrith. And given the way Jack played in game one, I would have found a position for him in game three, in the starting side. I agree with their decision if they weren't going to pick him in the starting 13, not to put him on the bench. I thought that was correct in my mind. And this is only my opinion too. I could be completely wrong. The thing that they would have been worried about though, Trent, I reckon, is Crichton will get better the more he plays. And the fact that he plays with those Penrith players, such an advantage for him to feel comfortable. And Jack plays more on the left side. They would have taken that into consideration rather than moving him to the right. But I would have found a spot for Jack. Everyone knows that I love him. I think he's a wonderful player. And I just reckon in that arena, he's suited down to the ground with what they'll need. They'll need to turn up to a different style of game where it will be warfare. You know, they'll be going at one another, and you just need someone there that can get stuck in.
Yeah, it'll be a slog, but I thought he was woeful in game one when he came on. That's the whole point. Like, he hasn't, in the two game or one and a half games he's played, he just hasn't looked like he does at Penrith. And I don't know what it is, but I'm with you. I think they just had to put White in there. For his defence also, like, he just tackles all day.
Yeah.
You know, they did get through him. They didn't get through him in game one.
Yep.
Everything that happened on Crichton's side, even when we had the Brisbane boy playing in there in the centre. So I can't.
Stags.
Excuse me. Katoni Stags. Yep. Thanks, boys. Everything bad happened for New South Wales that night come off that side. They just didn't look like getting through White. And I don't know. Look, I hope Freddie's got it right because there's nothing better than sticking to the Queenslanders. But. That's my biggest fear in the side.
Yeah. Well, he got it right in game two. He got it right in game two. Even though I'll give you, and I'm like you, I thought Crichton hasn't quite found his feet at that level yet. But I'd say they'd be thinking that he's going to improve. He'll feel more confident. The fact that, you know, he's up there for the grand final last year, which is played in Brisbane. He's been involved in a couple of big games recently, Crichton. A couple of grand finals. I think that's sort of played into his hands a little bit. The fact that there's plenty of Penrith players in that team and they're backing him after being in that winning side last weekend.
Well, the Swans are eighth after that loss to Essendon last week. They host the Western Bulldogs, who are 10th, only one win back though, at the SCG. Huge game this Friday night. And joining us now, well, he's played 131 games, kicked 201 goals since he debuted back in 2016, Swans forward Tom Papley. Tom, good morning to you.
Hey, boys. Good morning.
Mate, describe the eggshells. I guess the team was walking on when they got back in the dressing room after that loss, and also in your review. How did John Longmire react?
It wasn't a good one, I know that much. We reviewed it and see where we could get better. I think that's what it's all about. You look where you went wrong and we need to get better and we review it and we will.
9 wins, 6 losses. Is it, I guess you could say there's a little bit of inconsistency there, but you're still well above, I guess, a 50% win-loss ratio. Is it just the fact this year the comp's probably far more even than it's been in previous years?
Yeah,
Yeah, I think like our best footy can match it against the best. Like we beat Melbourne and who else was beating up the top? Trying to think off the top of my head, but yeah, we've beaten Melbourne, but then we've just lost to Essendon and things like that. And no disrespect to Essendon, obviously they're still sort of on a bit of a rebuild, and they've got some young players and things like that. But we've sort of been through that, and we the last couple of years, and this year obviously we've played some good footy and we've played some poor footy, and we just need to get that consistency right. And because when we play that good footy, we can match it with the best, and we truly believe that. And I think that's why the competition's so tough these days, because when you're that little bit off, you get found out. And on the weekend, we got found out. And this week, it's a massive game, and we're looking forward to it Friday night at the SCG against the Doggies, which we've got a good rivalry against.
Tom, we speak about it a lot with in all codes, all sports. Just that when the team beats you, that you know the perception is you should beat them, and you should beat them well. For us, I guess sitting away from the sport, I think back to cricket, and it was always attitude or concentration, just taking things for granted. Do you feel the Swans sit in that sort of position this year when there's a game that you know it's going to be extremely tough and you're not expected to win, or it's 50-50, it's game on and your boys are up, but then you get an opportunity like the Bombers where really you should be beating them? Is that just attitude and concentration, do you think, or is there more to it?
Yeah, look, it's... like we've dived into it, and leadership and coaches dived into it, and we're not sure what it is yet. Just yet, we just have those lapses in games, and it's very frustrating. And I think it's probably just like those 10 to 15 minutes in games where teams are putting 4 or 5 goals on us, and it's costing us. Like in Port Adelaide, it was only like 25-minute period where they sort of just put 5 or 6 goals on us, and it cost you the game. And it's frustrating, but we learn from it, and we're obviously trying to fix it, and we do everything we can to fix it.
Well, you mentioned you're taking on the Bulldogs Friday night at the SCG. Bulldogs have been inconsistent with their performance. They're just outside the eight. They'll be as desperate as you guys. Where's their strengths? What do you have to do to shut them down?
Yeah, obviously they're a good, really good team. They've come off a loss against the Brisbane, but before that they were in some good form, and they're really good around the contest. Their hands around the contest, and they've got some good players down forward and obviously in the midfield. So it's going to be a good battle, and look forward to it. I love playing in these games, and I think that's why you play. You want to play on the Friday night and in big games, and getting to the back end of the season now, and every game's a big game, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm sure John Longmire's probably, you know, spoken about the urgency of things now. I'm no doubt you had designs on top four this season. I mean, how important is this game in the context of the Swan season?
Yeah, very important, but I don't know, it's probably last bit cliche, but yeah, probably our downfall this year. We last week it was a massive game, and probably looking too far ahead and not concentrate on that game. So it's just this week for us, and we need to concentrate on this week and get the job done. And then it's just the following week. We've obviously got some big games coming up, but yeah, it's cliche, but that's just the way it is these days.
We're talking to Tom Papley from the Swans, and Tom, there's, you know, some talk of Dustin Martin ending up in Sydney and potentially at the Swans. So if that were to occur, how do you feel he'd fit into your system and culture?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't know. It's not really my position to comment, but he's a great player, and I'm not sure how it would work. But I don't know. I don't really want to comment, and then something to blow up. But yeah, he's a great player, and yeah, who knows what happens? It's whatever's best for him, and obviously the footy club, and I think he's done a number of things for Richmond Footy Club, and I'm sure they're pretty respectful of whatever his decision is to make.
I'll tell you what, Clarkie's proud of that front foot defence, Tom. Outstanding.
Very good technique. Very good. Let it go to the keeper, Tommy. Don't take it from him, buddy. They're trying to set you up in here.
Now, Pup, where would you recommend Dusty go for a drink when he first arrives?
Mate, anywhere
town?
He likes. I think he should definitely come to the Swans. Yeah. It'll be his loss if he doesn't. Forget Richmond. He's a Swanee. Get over here.
Which is the first place you're sending him to, though?
I'll probably invite him round.
Right.
I might get him over home. Yeah. Little Sunday sesh.
Little quiet one.
Well, make sure you get just, Tom around as well.
Tommy's welcome to come. Yeah, couple of beers, couple of old school friends, and we'll go from there.
Just make sure it's the off-season, Tom.
Now, Tommy, are you still involved in the horses?
Yeah, I've got a few, got a bit of ownership. I've got a couple. Obviously, love the racing. Don't mind a little punt here and there. Always responsible. But, yeah, I don't mind it.
Are any of them going any good at the moment?
I haven't got any work. I've got I had Zushine. That's probably my best one that won the listed race down in Hobart. But I just had a small share, and then that's been sold and to the breeding. But I got hopefully a young. I got about a 2-year-old with Mick Kent, Touch of Navy, that's coming through. Hopefully. That can come out for the spring and win a few races as a gelding, but yeah, hopefully we can get a few wins there.
What would you say if you know, people weren't involved in the horsing industry and they went into their first horse and then it won on debut and then it went to a Saturday class and should have won but ran second, and they're predicting a very, very bright future for a young 2-year-old filly. Like, does that just make you sick when you hear stories like that?
Oh, yeah, so who's that? It's Clarky.
Yeah, that's him. That's him.
Tommy, I told you don't let him get under your skin, mate. Just keep letting him go to the keeper. They're trying to set you up here.
What is it, Clarky?
Pretty Wild.
Yeah, nice.
Mate, she's just a youngster. These boys are just, they're onto me. Yeah. She's a youngster and she's had a good start. Yeah,
she's a brazen.
Slow and steady. Yeah.
She's a brazen bow filly, Tom, that absolutely walked in on a Wednesday on debut and then they just send her to Saturday grade second up and she's run a belting second. So,
she's a baby.
Yeah, the one for the battlers.
That's what it's all about. Logan McDonald, he's got a Perth horse with Luke Fernie.
Yeah,
it's called Rumour Says. He got a good. I'm pretty sure he might have even got it. I don't know. Didn't pay much for it anyway, and he got a good deal with Luke Fernie, the young trainer in WA, and 2-year-old had one trial, and paying about, I don't know, $10 and lows. Was like, oh no, nah, probably won't win. They're just throwing in the trial. And runs like the fastest 600 of the day as a 2-year-old, and then next up bolts in again by another 3 lengths and then failed it, and they're going to aim for a Group 1.
Oh, you dream of that. And that was Clarkie, first time
it's she all
ran.
In the preparation, Loz. I had this conversation with you.
I know. Yeah. But Tommy, I'm death riding him. But once it qualifies for a Group 1, I'm on his coattail, straight to the races with him.
Oh,
yeah,
dear. Of course.
Mate, great to talk to you. Good luck, too, with Touch of Navy. We'll keep an eye on that one. And particularly good luck against the Dogs. Go well Friday night.
Cheers, boys. Thank you. Have a good day.
Tom Papley there of the Swans and the market. Sydney $1.55. The Bulldogs $2.45 with tab 7.5 is your line. Swans the minus. We were just speaking to Tom Papley from the Swans before, so they got that big game Friday night. Gee, there's a big game tomorrow night as well. Geelong and Melbourne, 1 and 2 down at Geelong. $1.90 each at 2 with tab that match as well. And tonight, Wimbledon, Nick Kyrgios and Oleg Tomjanovic flying the flag for Australia, trying to get through to the final four of a Grand Slam for the first time. Now, this story is, well, I mentioned it earlier when Bulldog was here, and you can catch up if you missed Bulldog this morning on the podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Big Sports Breakfast. The ARL Commission acquiring the Gambaro's Hotel and Restaurant there just off Caxton Street in Brisbane. And they're going to, you know, theme the rooms and name them after legendary players. So, surely... Clarkie, doesn't he get a room, even in Queensland?
Well, yeah, I'm a little confused. Is it Queensland players? Is it Australian players?
Just the game's legendary players.
Okay. How many rooms they got?
Don't know.
Because the Immortals would be there. And then you'd think there'd be a lot of Queensland legend players there.
Because Inglis do this well at their hotel at Warwick Farm. They have every room's named after a horse.
Might be able to get a discount voucher there as well.
You know. That on you, you'd be thinking that.
It's free accommodation. Surely the room's named after you. It's free accommodation.
Imagine when he checks in daily. Oh, your room's...
No, he won't. You just say 468. How you going, lovely? 468. Thank you very much. Eight. You
how many
take
rooms
care of
the they bill? Got?
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. See how many rooms they got. I think I'd be down the list. I don't think my name will be on a room anywhere.
Close by, though, isn't it, to Suncorp?
Yeah, it's straight across the road from the Caxton Hotel.
Ah, yes.
And it's possibly, 500-metre walk to the Suncorp Stadium? It's a lovely area. I mean, for events, if you're going to Suncorp Stadium, just that walk down Caxton Street, you've got bars and restaurants and it gets crowded and a really good atmosphere.
And this is interesting from the commission because Peter Volandi's always said he'd like the game to own more assets. And
yeah.
Well, it's a good way to future-proof. I was probably thinking stadiums, but they're going to go straight. Well, this is one asset, which is, you know, close to obviously to Suncorp, and you've got the Dolphins going to be playing there.
It's going to be a game every week, in Brisbane.
Is it another nod to, I don't think Magic Round's going to be moving anytime soon?
No, well, Magic Round wouldn't be going anywhere. But the other thing is you've got Rugby Union up there too. You know, you've got the Wallabies taking on England there this weekend. Mm. So you can only imagine Caxton Street, how busy it'll be. So all those major events that are played at Suncorp Stadium, you know, you've got the restaurant, you've got the accommodation, you've got the bars. Obviously they've done the numbers and thought, well, if we can get hold of this at a decent price, it's going to, you know, be with us for a long time.
Just on the Wallabies as well, Quade Cooper is likely out for the rest of the series, certainly out this weekend with that calf injury he suffered in the warm-up ahead of the Perth test last week. So it'll either be Noah Lolasio or James O'Connor at 10. You'd think Lolasio holds his spot at 10 after he performed pretty admirably there last weekend, coming in at short notice to the starting side. Reece Hodge comes into the squad for Tom Banks, who has that broken arms out for months. I haven't seen what happened with the dog. Get back to you on the Darcy Swain. He had his hearing last night. I haven't seen the result of that yet, what he got. In fact, he's escaped. It's the wrong article. I'll find out what's happening. No, he's suspended for 2 weeks. There we go. So he got 2 weeks, the Wallaby, who was red-carded for that. What would you call it, Loz, that?
It was a facial press.
Yeah.
Is that what you call it? A head-to-head sort of push? Forehead push? I don't know what you call it, but it wasn't a headbutt.
Robbo's on the line. Morning, Robbo. What do you call it?
An attempt at nothing.
How ridiculous, seriously.
Yeah, listen, Loz.
Yes, Robbo.
Has that Gambara got an outdoor loo?
You reckon the daily loo?
Just a thought.
I was thinking to upgrade myself to something a little bit better than the toilet, Robbo.
Well, I don't want to...
But I'll take that with notice.
Jumping conclusions, Laurie.
I know how your mind works.
So does my missus, unfortunately. Oh, boys, that the rugby test last Saturday. It only took 41 seconds for me to lose interest.
It was hard viewing in the first half in particular. Mm. I watched it, and it was a poor first half. I thought the Wallabies were poor early in England.
But the Poms didn't offer anything.
Offered zero.
We offered zero. The greatest tactical move in the game, the box kick, after 41 seconds.
Oh, mate, isn't it just the worst?
I don't know where we got the halfback, but he had a shocker.
Oh, he's Nick White is one of our reliable players, I would say. But I feel the same as you with the box kick. Look, you've got to give him credit. You know, with the adversity they faced, they played pretty well, particularly in that 20-minute period that saw them win the game in the second half. But like what Loz said,
the Poms were boring.
Well, Owen Farrell should be playing 10. The 10 was useless.
Yeah.
That good, was he?
He was poor.
I've never heard of that nothing bloke before. Marcus Smith, is that his name?
Yeah, Smitty. That's him.
Smithy, yeah.
Owen Farrell's got to be playing 10.
I thought he was the gun number 10. That's Andy Farrell's.
Yes, son.
Mm. And Andy Farrell's coaching Ireland over there in New Zealand at the moment.
Well, it's usually he and George Ford are sort of either 10, 12
but they were
10 or
they're going
the
nowhere if that's the best the Poms have got, Robbo.
Well, that's a good point. You know, we didn't struggle. We didn't even get to that level in that first half. It was just I mean, our centres, I don't know why they got selected. They're probably the monopoly champions of the Wallabies. They stood out there all day doing nothing in the first half.
I'll tell you how bad we're going, though. The Wallabies have had a win and we're bagging them.
Yeah, you blokes are unbelievable.
Yeah, well, they'll get better. They'll get better
any,
for sure.
Any win is a good win.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Can I make a comment on something else?
Yeah.
Your rating systems yesterday.
Yeah, what?
For looks.
Oh, ratings for looks, yeah.
Well, Clarkie, I will give you up there around about 8 because you do present yourself well.
Thanks, buddy.
I did. Middo. Now, Middo, seriously, you turn up at East Rugby.
Oh, he,
yes, Robbo. Have you heard the stories about him?
Yeah, mate. Well, he got an 8 for that effort because he turned up after ladies' days in that little pink frilly number with his black stilettos on.
You know he does the circuit. Shoot Shield have a ladies' day most rounds, and he gets around to all of them. It's on at North this weekend.
Crap.
And he's told me he's going to that one.
No, I have not, and I'm not.
You are.
Quite cagey play, though.
Mm. Well, what's going to go? Booked for it at 2:30.
Got a family dinner on Saturday night.
Oh, the old family friend. Heard that before.
Thanks, Robbo, though, for your sledge. Appreciate it.
Old school friend.
Thanks for the
call. You do the circuit.
Oh, rubbish.
You do.
Here we go.
Well, how many ladies' days have been at East?
One.
Well, you tend to get down there quite often.
I've been there twice this year.
Right. And at Warringah, there was a ladies' day.
Quite smart.
At Manly, there was a ladies' day.
Haven't been to either.
I saw you there.
No, you didn't.
I saw you there.
That's such a liar.
I saw you there.
Oh, you're the best.
I saw you walk in.
When's ladies' day at Randwick? You know?
Yeah, you'd know that one.
Yeah, can you let me know? I'll come with you.
Sure.
Thanks
Robbo. Morning, Matthew. How are you?
Morning, gents. How are we going?
Not too bad, mate. What do you want to talk about?
First thing, Clarkie, pretty awesome.
Is this Matt from Coffs?
No.
I'm Matt from Canberra.
Oh, shame. I was in the mood for a disagreement on radio. Go for it, Matty from Canberra. I'm all ears.
Yeah, that pretty wild has made me nothing but money, mate, so thanks for that.
Oh, really? Good to hear, mate. Glad I can help.
Because I talked to some of your ex-teammates and say you're very selfish, so you'd never tell them a winner.
Ah.
All right. I'll go.
Very selfish, very true.
Loz never picked it, so I was like, well, it must be a winner.
Oh, I'm glad I'm helping someone's pocket.
I'll only pick it when it turns out to be a champion. When she turns out to be a champion, I'll be on board.
Yeah, clap nice and blog. Patient.
Another thing, buddy, that Dragons Raiders game, all you need to do is kick a 2-point field goal and it would have been fine. I don't know why the Raiders are so hopeless. Or just play better. And then for the State of Origin, just wait for the World Cup to see how that goes and then make Samoa and Tonga and bloody Fiji Tier 1 teams and then they can't play State of Origin.
Yeah, well, I think it's getting to that stage where it'll be a strong discussion point at the end of next season, or end of this season, sorry, about eligibility rules with State of Origin. Now, I know a lot of people think that it should be opened up to everyone to play Origin, but I'm still of the belief if you're playing State of Origin, you have to make yourself available for Australia. And if you are then not selected for Australia, you are able to go and represent one of those Tier 2 nations, or Pacific nations, regardless of whether they're Tier 1 or 2. And I think we need to continually look at it because I see Origin as being still the jewel in the crown. Mm-hmm. Origin is still the jewel. You go and ask any broadcaster, they want State of Origin. They want Origin, and the amount of money that it generates for the game is enormous. And if you want to start mucking around with it, you got to think of where the game will be. And I know we think about all these different parts of the game and what people like to see. If you want to see the best players, well, you have all-star concepts and things like that. If you want to see all these players playing together, I thought it'd be international football. That's where you want the people playing for Samoa or Tonga, not at State of Origin level. If you're playing State of Origin, you're making yourself available for Australia. That's my opinion. Mm.
Now, Dave Stanley coming up shortly. Just a reminder, Warwick Farm off today, and that meeting is at Canterbury tomorrow. Now, by the way, fixed odds bet stand when they change track, if it's run within 24 hours. So if customers call the contact centre and request a cancellation due to the track changing, then Tab will accommodate that request. Otherwise, it's play on with your bets if you've had a bet there for Warwick Farm today, which has been moved to Canterbury tomorrow with the same field. So your bet stand, unless you don't want that bet anymore, you would like a refund on your bet, then just call the contact centre.
Done a bit of homework too, Middo, on the ladies' day at Randwick Rugby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when is it, Loss?
6th of August.
Clarkie. 6th of August, Clarkie.
I won't be here. I'm on holidays. I'm away. Middo, you'll have to go on your own, buddy.
Yeah, you got a ladies' day every day in Europe.
Can you text me? Can you tell me what it's like, please?
I grabbed his phone in the break.
I've never heard anyone.
Did he crash tuck with
you? No, I grabbed his phone. You know when you look at a calendar? 6th of August.
Yeah, it's in there.
What had it already in.
You wouldn't even know how to go into the calendar.
Very, very smart. I like his thinking. He's supporting rugby in the country.
That's exactly what he's doing.
I mean, this
and he's supporting the ladies around the country too. I think it's smart.
This guy's had a haircut and just, you know,
I'm actually devastated I'm not in studio today. I actually want to be right beside Loz today. I reckon we could have caused a bit of drama with you today, Middo.
Bit of mayhem.
Yeah, just a bit of
mayhem. Anyway, what about the socks you've got on?
What's he going for?
Yeah, these are the Maccabi Diva socks.
Oh, the ones we got given when we first started.
Yeah.
These are the American socks.
They were part of that Tab promotion a couple of years ago, three years ago.
Right.
Where you could buy the socks.
Can you pull them? I got Winx, I think.
Horse's colours.
I got Black Caviar.
I got
They are Maccabi Diva. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, you're about to bag me, and that's backfired on you.
No, I just said what type of socks you got on.
Yeah, but you had something else coming.
Why do you think like that all the time?
Because I know you.
Yeah, right. I feel like this week's you're in for a bit this week, Middo. I reckon you've got to try and get yourself through to Friday.
Well, hang on. They're not the socks you had on.
Oh, they're the Chautauqua socks. I got the set.
Oh, you got the set.
Well, I don't know.
Were they selling for charity? Did you buy them or you stole them?
Well, there was some, I don't know. I can't remember.
You got different socks on and you lied to the audience. You lied to me.
No, I didn't.
Dear.
You did. They're not the socks you had on.
Who are they?
Well, that was during when we had to have a photo together.
Well, it was me and you got one pair each. Yeah. You know, got the whole set.
He got the set.
When we took ours off, Middo took them home.
They're just socks.
Mate, if you're going that bad, I could give you some socks.
Oh, don't want anything to do with anything in your drawers. Nothing.
Ah, dear.
Where's DS? He's coming up shortly, I'm told. But
Harvey Norman, DS today.
By the way,
he's in early.
Is he in the studio?
He's in the studio.
Why is he always in when I'm not?
Oh, he must have a serious meeting later.
Yeah, new contract.
Might be up for discussion.
Yeah, wants to extend, take the extra option.
By the way, quick tip for tonight. Kyrgios in how many sets, Clarkie? Is he winning tonight?
Oh, my God. You know what? I want him to... I really want him to win, but... I think what has just happened is going to affect him. I think he's getting done.
Okay. Well, Garin, his opponent's $4.20, Loz.
Yeah. Three zip.
That's what I want, Loz. I want him to come out and actually play some awesome tennis.
That's $2.30. I'm with Rashid. $3.60. Kyrgios, three sets to one. $3.60 to Tab.
Come on, Nick.
Let's make some money on a Wednesday night. Dave Steely, morning to you.
All about making money, boys. How are we this morning? Are we up and about?
Well, Loz has sit here and told 14 lies in 2 minutes.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise
me. Loz is on the Middo this week. He's got him. He's got him wrapped around his something, and he's going to smoke him till Friday.
He's always like that, though, pup. After a holiday, he's up and about. In about 4 weeks' time, Middo will have the wood over him again, telling him what to do.
Loz has got him covered this week. Don't worry, he's on to it.
Hey. I know you've been chatting a lot about the Kosciuszko, and obviously we don't have a meeting today in Sydney. That Warwick Farm meeting transferred to Canterbury now tomorrow. Pretty hectic what's obviously happening around Sydney and now to the northern part of Sydney. So, as I said yesterday, please stay safe wherever you are. But we're going to chat with Brett Kavanagh today, Teresa Bate up, John Thompson, Neil Osborne and Trent Musselden. And we've got previews today because of no Sydney. We'll be looking after Racing HQ at the Sunny Coast meeting, which will be on Sky Thoroughbred Central, and also Sandown. And I've got Michael Maxworthy and Mark Hunter doing a full preview. I know there's a lot of people out there that love following Mark's tips. Well, you need to tune in just after 10 o'clock and you'll hear his full set today at Sandown.
How's your Instagram going, Davey?
Yeah, it's going all right, mate. I put a little story up there today.
I did. That's why I asked.
Did you like? I noticed you were on the gram a bit over in New Zealand.
I was on it heavy, mate.
Yeah. I remember you think you told Pup and Middo on air that your daughter was into you saying, listen, if you're going to have the Instagram,
you got to post.
You've got to post. But very, I tell you what, isn't he? It's good to see, boys. There's a bloke that's just got married. He's still madly in love, Lozza. Look, holding hands here with the snow. Queenstown with my queen.
What about that caption?
So Dave, that's the secret to long-term marriage is to, just to give and take.
Give and take.
Give and take.
Who wrote the caption, Loz? That's what I want to know. Queenstown with my queen. Was that
just came to me.
It just came to you? In the emoji?
In the moment.
Or was the phone stolen?
No, I just sat there in the snow when I was... Just thinking about things and thinking about life in general and thinking about the strong partnership Michelle and I have.
Yeah. We've got to keep the momentum going because we saw you on the, having a schooner in the pub at Yarra Valley and then obviously we saw you with your beautiful daughter and then we've had the Queenstown with my queen. So, look, head to Laurie's Instagram page.
As I've always said, Dave, see, I can handle whatever's thrown at me.
Yeah.
You know, if I've got to sit into a pub and have a schooner, I'll do that.
Well,
if I've got to be out holding hands in the snow and being romantic, I'll do that as well.
I tell you
I'm
what,
adaptable to any situation.
You need to talk to your host there because Middo...
You're a much better man than me, daily.
Middo's been quiet on the gram, but he came back with Fight Week.
Don't worry, mate. Middo's been busy off the gram.
D&M.
He's been rocking it.
What's D&M stand for?
He's been ghosting. Yeah. Direct message.
Yes,
well, all I heard was he's been D&Ming someone.
D&Ming?
Yeah.
Someone?
Oh, well...
What, can we start
some
a room
people?
Here?
I don't know.
People.
That's all I've heard. D&Ms.
D&Ms. Famous people, Middo?
No, oh, so famous. Mate.
Hang on, are they verified? Have they got the blue tick? Because if you're DMing the blue tick,
Yeah, his name's Laurie Daly.
I've never seen a bloke sink more in his
doesn't he? He must.
Look at him. Are you okay?
He must walk out.
Just put me out of my misery.
He must walk out of here and just go, what are you blokes? What are you blokes doing? He'd be thinking, well, you've given him up there, Loz. I was only G'ing him up saying, I want to see more posts.
Nah, a few DMs, they're good. They keep you busy in the afternoon. Just check the DMs.
How many DMs would you...
I just heard it when I was walking to the toilet. That was all.
How many DMs, Pup?
I've DM'd.
Depends. You know, on your daily routine, Pup, would you set aside 45 minutes a day just to go through
Pup, how many would you sort of, honestly, how many
you
DMs would you have?
You check it regularly. Like, I'm checking it when I'm on radio as well.
Yeah, we know that.
Like, you're in studio, I'm checking.
We know
The boys are asking questions and I'm on the Insta.
I remember when you first started, Losby going, gee, this bloke, he's always on the Tab app. I said, mate, he's not on the Tab app. I'll tell you what, he's bagging a few winners, but he's not on the Tab app.
I thought something was wrong with me at the start because I tried to get close to him. I tried to have a look to see what he was looking at, but he kept moving away.
Now I show you. Now I'm loud and proud. I hide nothing from those two in there. Yeah,
very
good. About that.
Have a great
day. A few
day,
DMs,
Woods.
They're good for you.
Yeah, I like
why
it.
Why not? Single blokes, you know? Give you something to do. You married boys, you just stay romantic. Go and buy some flowers.
Yeah.
Dave Stanley, Laurie Daly, you two go and buy some flowers for your lovelies.
I'm going to Queenstown with my queen. There you go.
Good on you, DS.
How are you? See you, boys. You have a good Wednesday. Great show today. All those interviews this morning as well from the Big Sports Breakfast, they're up on podcast. Always good to have a bit of fun, especially when there's a lot of bad stuff happening in the world. Bad news. It's always good to have a little smile at 9 o'clock and changeover. Speaking of fantastic smiles, great to be back in the studio. JR, Jamie Rogers, she's up and about this morning. Here's her news at 9 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. You're on Sky Sports Radio.